Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. It's the Grim Article Show, and I've got my host DP.
What's up?
And we're going to talk about quite a few things. First off, our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Definitely go check out your Spinning Robot Pussy if you don't have one. And there's also the Follow Me Eyes, if you like the little creepy doll effect, the follow effect for your doll. There you go. But some people like that. So it's whatever. TFM, or Dr. Dollhouse, might I say, has actually talked about those, and he's done several descriptions with them. So go on and check them out. Also, Aaron Clary's got a new book. I'm not sponsored by him, but he's got a new book called The Menu, Life Without the Opposite Sex. Very interesting topic. He's talking about how men live without women. Very curious. I mean, this is the guy that wrote Enjoy the Decline, and he also did Bachelor Pad Economics and a lot of other books that a lot of men remember, recognize. Good books. But I'm curious about The Menu. How men can live without the opposite sex. It's weird. Kind of interesting. I want to see how he proposes that. Clary, of course, well-known writer in the manosphere. So check that out if it's interesting to you. And his other books as well. There's a lot of good material there. And he does his research. That's why TFM respects him, because he does his damn research. All right. So that out of the way. And it's not going to be like it was last time. But that out of the way. We've got to talk about some things. Well, I was in a hentai server. I'm not going to say which one. But basically, it was a hentai game, one of them that I've been playing a bit, and was talking to some of the people in there. And I found that some guys are red-pilled on marriage, as in they're not wanting to get married. They don't see the idea in it. One guy was talking about how he wanted high-maintenance women, and he only dates the high-maintenance women. That's all he wanted, was high-maintenance girls.
I wouldn't, because that's going to cost you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he said, well, you know, because these guys were talking about marriage costs. It's about $200,000 for a marriage, $400,000 in India. Just ridiculous. And a lot of guys were saying, no, they don't want to deal with that. Of course, I said a lot of the reason why these guys, you know, the incel community act the way they do is because they act like women. And, of course, they called me a misogynist. They're like, what do you mean you can't? And basically they kicked me over into the politics section. Mm-hmm. And I noticed when I started talking politics, there was one guy in particular who was extremely normie leftist, and he even said he considers himself a liberal. Because at first, I said I'm not even crazy about the trad con sometimes. But he was saying, they said, well, he's not one of them. I said, I know, he's liberal. He's left-leaning liberal, and he said, I prefer just the term liberal. I said, well, yeah, you're a liberal. So that's what you believe in. That's your whole ideology. And I was, of course, telling him about the school teacher that wanted the teacher that wanted to, the kids to get an adult stuff. He's like, where'd you hear that? Just random people off Twitter. I was like, no, I gave him the article. And he's like, well, and, the fact that they want LGBT everywhere. And he's like, well, yeah, but random people on Twitter don't count. Well, the problem is, buddy, most of those random people on Twitter, they ascribe to the same thing that you do. Like, so even though you like, I don't accept them, they don't count. They do count, because you're the one, like, if you, basically, that's part of your group, Like, there's not other groups of leftists. There's not like, these are the people that are okay with the child diddling, and these people are okay. Now, there's a classical liberal. I understand that. I was a classical liberal. But no, I'm talking about the modern liberal. That's what he was saying. And, of course, he called me a misogynist a million times. And I'm like, okay. How do I hate women if I talk with them, I'm friends with them, I've got, and they're saying, you can hate something and still like it and talk to it and flirt with it. And I said, okay, hold on just a second here. Uh-huh. I don't think you really, because he's like, I hate life, but I keep going. I said, no. If you really hated life, like absolutely hated life, the very thought of your existence, you would have killed yourself. And I was honest. I said, because to hate something, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm not crazy about this. I don't really, you know, I really dislike this. Like, I dislike all these woke politics. I don't care for a lot. I say that a lot. I don't care for these woke politics. Oh, yeah. I don't care for a lot of that stuff. You know, but at the same time, when you say, like, you hate something, you got to think about how strong the word hate actually is.
Oh, yeah.
Hate is like, you want something eradicated, like completely 100%, like gone.
Wiped from
yeah, which is everything.
Kind of ironic. That's
because that's what they yeah, because that's what they want. Yes, absolutely. If there's anyone that's hating, it's them, and they're saying. I said, so no, I don't hate women. I don't want them eradicated from humanity. Not at all. I enjoy women. I enjoy talking to women. I don't have any problem with women. I have a problem, but I'm gonna make critiques, and they're like, and then the guy's like, say he doesn't hate women, has all kinds of critiques about women. It's giving somebody critiques does not mean that you hate them.
Well, that's a lot of.
That's people. A lot of their.
It depends on what major you're in college.
But well, they said he's a political.
Of don't get used to right off the bat in college is critique.
He's a political sci major.
Especially when they're all butthurt about hearing anything bad about their.
Oh, no, you can't do that. And one of the guys, he told me, he said, look, the guy doesn't like anybody. The Manosphere, MRAs, red pilled, whatever. And one of the guys, like, oh, the Manosphere, you know, Manos means hands. In Spanish, so I guess it fits. The hand sphere, they were trying to say that most of the guys in the Manosphere apparently masturbate or whatever. That's all they get. All right. That's a funny joke. I'll give him the fucking the funny there. That's funny. All right. But I was like, and they were talking about. Now I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is true. You guys can look it up. But one of the guys says that the creators of The Matrix referred to the red pill as the estrogen pill. Basically, it was supposed to be like the red pill, the birth control. But they're saying that the creator of The Matrix has come back to say that the pill, the red pill, referred to the estrogen pill or the act of becoming a trans woman. Now, I don't know. That could be the case now because you know they've changed the Wachowski brothers or the Wachowski sisters now. So there's a very good chance that they could refer to that. However, Grant Morrison has our backs here because if it wasn't for Grant Morrison, there wouldn't even be a concept of a fucking red and blue pill in the first place. And, of course, his comic books built a lot of the world that shaped The Matrix. In fact, some of the stuff I've been told, I haven't read all of The Invisibles yet, but I've been told that some of The Invisibles is so much like The Matrix, it could be taken shot for shot. Mm. Uh-huh. I haven't read The Matrix. I know there's a trans character in The Matrix. This is way before that became a thing, though.
Oh, yeah. They're called...
yeah, it was just... It was just a different thing. Well, no, this was actually... This was actually a man that dressed like a woman and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But,
I remember in 2000, I went to school here in town at the community college. And there was a guy that walked around in a dress and a wig.
Yeah.
Never bothered to try to do anything with his face. But he would wear a wig. It looked like, I don't know if you remember the old Church's chicken commercials. Where is the grandma like, you better stay away from my chicken. It was just, it was kind of racist to be honest with you. I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong with it at the time, but now looking back at
right.
it, you know they wouldn't let it fly. They're like, ooh, they're gonna call us minstrel.
Oh yeah, dude, it's pretty bad. You know what I think I did? I ate too much damn yogurt.
Yeah,
I ate yogurt. Too much of that
I'm sure
yogurt.
You eat too much of anything gets slimy and.
That probiotic probably just hit me so hard. It's I'm having... Well, I know what to eat when I'm having problems in the bathroom. My God. I was supposed to go see my doctor. That didn't happen. secretary's like, oh, I didn't even see your appointment. I guess I forgot to schedule it. You want to try to do what? Yeah. You want to do one next week on Monday, same time?
Like, no, yeah. You messed up. You should fix it so it's convenient for me.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest that if you didn't have an appointment scheduled, but if you'd already scheduled
I did.
And screwed up,
I did.
That means they need to make it right.
Oh, yeah. I said, and they're like, well, we can't get you at all in all, we can't get you in at all today, so we can get you in on Wednesday. I said, I work Wednesday. Well, what about next Monday? I said, all right, next Monday is fine. 2:15, she said, 3:15, 2:15 is fine. So I'm going to go in there, talk to him, and I think I just have an ulcer. Honestly, I think all this stricture business is me looking too far into it, and I think what I have is an ulcer. Because when you have an ulcer, like when you're eating something, you know, when it passes down, you feel it. Yeah, that's what it is. So I just have to be careful because certain things aggravate that ulcer. And I just stick to, like, soft foods and don't eat too much crunchy stuff. And I eat an apple every night. An apple seems to really, really help.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Apple's better than fucking Tums.
Really?
Yes.
Would have never
Red
thought.
Apple. Red apple every night. And the heartburn's just not even an issue. Yep. One red apple. I wouldn't believe it until I tried it. Because I tried Tums. I tried everything. And finally I said, let me eat this apple. Heartburn went away. So I did it again yesterday. Let me eat this apple. Heartburn went away. Like, and apples are good for ulcers, so I know that's what it is. And they said I had ulcers in my esophagus. So maybe what I'm seeing a stricture is just an ulcer, and I'm like, oh my god! But I don't know what an ulcer is, because I'm not really,
It's just a sore in your lining.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, now you know
what and I'm not is. Having, and I'm not having swallowing problems either anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, I took the, yeah, I mean, I'm taking lion's mane every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, Lion's Mane has been great, working good for me. I don't even need fucking coffee. I take two of them, I'm bouncing off the walls. One of them, I feel just energized. It's great. And they do have a lower, you know, they don't, it's not like all day. It's just like having coffee with no kickback. Like, you know how you have coffee, it'll give you the,
the
groggy, you don't get the groggy feeling. You just, at nighttime, when your body's ready to settle down, it settles down. Things start, you go to sleep, just normal. You're not up all damn ever, you know. You actually do have a period where your body's like, okay, I'm done.
Of course, my ADHD, I go to sleep no matter what.
Oh, yeah. But it's good. I'm glad I got them. They're good. I take one every day. And I might start taking two at work when I do the hard work. But one may be sufficient. I mean, if I'm gonna try one tomorrow, and if one's like sufficient, I'm like, dude, I'm good on one. Then I'll just do one.
No.
But they're kind of like energy pills in a way. But they're not. It's natural mushroom based energy. That's why people are recommending these mushroom coffees. Like Joe Rogan promotes these mushroom coffees. I didn't know they had energy in the mushrooms.
No, I found that.
And they're also anti-inflammation. There's a lot of anti-inflammation. That's probably one of the reasons why my ulcers aren't as bad. Shit's probably healing.
Yeah.
So it's good. I feel better. I don't have the anxiety anymore like I did either. Like even if I'll get like an anxious thought, I'll just blow it off. It's like I couldn't do that before.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, it's not that big a deal. And it's gone. I don't even think about it. So it's great, man. Good for depression, good for anxiety. A lot of good benefits. There's only few side effects that some people get rarely, like skin rashes. I've never, ever, ever had those in my life. And I've taken these things for a long, long time. So I recommend it. Good stuff if you're looking for an alternative to coffee. Also getting some cordyceps. Now, they say that it can affect your libido. Basically, it doesn't mean that you can't, like, erection or whatever. Basically, it means that you just don't feel in the mood as much.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what am I, why is that a big deal for me? I'm not even really doing anything. Like, I mean, I can get in the mood. All I gotta do is, like, if I want to look at porn, I'll look at porn or whatever. I mean, it's not a big fucking deal. It's not like, oh my god, you can't. No, it's just, like, if I'm watching a steamy scene or something like that, yeah, it's gonna happen. It doesn't stop you from getting an erection.
Aroused.
It just...
Well, the arousal would be part of the sex drive, the need to
release. Yeah, but you can also, I mean, but you can also offset that with cortisol.
And actually, that's what I was reading a thing on, is mm-hmm. cortisol, actually, too much of it screws up
mm-hmm.
everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I was looking at different things that...
What I was saying, though, is that you can offset it with cordyceps, which is a mushroom that is usually paired with it. But basically what it does, cordyceps increases testosterone and increases sperm count, everything else. It's a really good mushroom for men to have. So I'm going to go ahead and offset that with cordyceps. So I'll basically be taking the cordyceps and the lion's mane, because that's what I used to do anyway. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that.
So you'll basically be a loaded weapon that just goes out for target practice every once in a while.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, I was taking cordyceps mix. Well, see, basically my original mushroom mix was cordyceps, reishi, and lion's mane. And now I can't take the reishi. Reishi really fucks with you. So basically I take the cordyceps and the lion's mane.
Okay.
Yeah. Cordyceps is good for blood flow. It's good for men.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, cordyceps is good for ED.
Produce mm-hmm. a lot of nitrous oxide.
I don't... What?
I may be thinking of...
You might be thinking of something else. But no, cordyceps is good for building testosterone.
Niacin, I believe.
Yeah.
That you need... That's part of what your body's response
is. I got
is
that in my multi.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm good on that. Like, I don't have any problems with that area, folks. It's just like I don't feel the need that I necessarily have to do it, which isn't that bad of a thing. It doesn't bother me.
Deal about it, but if I could be what I was,
or at least
close to what I was in my early 20s, you know, even...
Maybe
not teens where a wind blow just right and I've got
Oh,
that'd be rough.
Yeah, that would be rough.
How many times I've had to
Now, would you take cordyceps every day that did? When I took the cordyceps every day that did that, so I'm going to start taking cordyceps. If I do take it, it's either every other day or two or three times, like just two times a week or something. Because that shit's really powerful if you take it all the time. But yeah, the lion's mane every single day is fine. Cordyceps, I don't want to overdo. I think that might have been the problem. I was probably overdoing it with one of those mushrooms, and that was the cordyceps.
So what was caused? What
the
was reishi. Happening?
The reishi. The reishi. The reishi.
No, I mean,
mushroom.
What was the side effects? What
stomach upset?
Oh, stomach upset. Mm-hmm. You're raging erection, but you're shitting all over the place.
No, I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
It wasn't doing that either. It was, reishi was supposed to be good for anxiety, but I found out that lion's mane is also good for anxiety.
Well, but if it's for anxiety, you think cortisol is your, what is it, distress response comes from your adrenal gland.
Hmm.
And so if too much cortisol messes it up, anti-anxiety probably mellows you out.
Right.
And takes that fight response away from you.
Yeah. Which is,
or at least,
well,
less,
no,
is
no,
it?
I wouldn't say that.
Take it away, but lessens
that,
it.
Because what it does is it basically, I mean, no, I still work like, I mean, it's got energy like you wouldn't believe.
Well,
so yeah. I got energy.
Well, that's good. Well, it's not an energy thing I'm saying, it just regulates it better.
Well, that's fine. I don't need to be fighting people anyway.
No, fight or flight. Basically.
Yeah, I'm not trying to fight
but
people.
But that's what
anyway.
They say. Nowadays, people that have stress at work and all that.
I don't need a fight response. A fight response is just going to make me irritable and end up losing my fucking job because
A lot of it's back from when you'd had to run from a tiger.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
And we just haven't evolved from it.
Right. But I've been doing, I've been on the mushrooms, of course. But, I was arguing with these damn leftists, arguing with these damn people that are just... One of the guys, like he said, block this guy because he tried to defend this. There's an article from, I think, 2013 about a black woman who's a social worker. And she basically had this woman locked up in her house. And what she created, a basement of horrors. Yeah. You should look, look this up. It happened in Philadelphia. It's basically, he was trying to justify the social worker. And the guy who created the game that owns that server, he actually jumped in that section and he said, I need more information on this because this isn't something that I want promoted in my server. Like, I know about this incident and I don't want people promoting it, saying it was a good thing to lock up a woman and, trolling or not. I mean, that's not something he wants in his server. So basically, he went in there and they were looking up information of where the guy said it. And, it was a mess. It was a mess. But it ended with me and a guy basically talking about birth rates. And, the birth rate situation is kind of a big deal. But in the end, one of the guys says, if humanity gets extinct, maybe we kind of deserve it. Because we've done a lot of shitty things. And we've, but he did promote this game. He's a game developer himself, but he did promote this game called Timberborn. Timberborn is basically what happened if beavers replaced humanity. Basically, they created everything out of wood. They created their buildings out of wood. Yeah. It says it's a really sad game. It's got really good music. It'll make you almost cry. Because it's basically how these beavers are going back after everything we've destroyed, and they're trying to use their methods of building a dam and stuff like that to try to fix our world and make it habitable for them. So it's very interesting. It's a game that's still in development. Yeah, I don't like the style of game. Because it's not like a level-based game. It's more like you manage resources and stuff. Which is cool. Some people might like that. Timberborn certainly is a unique and original idea. I don't mind it. Beavers, who would have thought, right? But we both seem to like it. And I said, that's cool. So that was another game developer. There's a lot of game developers in there. One of the guys I was arguing with was a hentai game reviewer. And, I told him. He was the guy that straight up told me. He said, you can love that, you can hate things and still be interested in them. Yeah. I'm like, that's not true.
Well, I hate murder, but I still interest me how people do it.
Well, I'm talking about...
Or why they do it.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you can hate something and still, interact with it.
I dislike women, but I still...
Right, yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't dislike all women, by the way. It's some personalities that...
Really take you off, exactly.
...is a large part of the female population.
It's a large part of the population. Exactly. And, we're not saying single woman. That's one problem I have in the manosphere. There's so many guys out there that are literally this woman did this woman did that. And even one of the other guys that admitted, he said, I'm madly in love. I've been in love for a long time. And he basically says, look, I'll admit there are women with some really shitty personalities out there. But he said it's not all of them. Well, I will say, I said, look, I'm from the 80s. I remember a different kind of woman. You're a younger guy. You have a different kind of mindset and all that kind of thing. And basically, you're also got the... Basically, Drexel calls them the relationship blinders. When you're in a relationship, you're blinded to the dating market. Because you don't need to be in the dating market anymore. You've already got the one that you're going to spend, maybe the rest of your life with or whatever. So you're like, I don't really need to look anymore. I've got the one I want. So, and that's what Drexel said a lot with Nick, is that Nick is in he's got the dating, the relationship blinders on. So he can't see what's going on. And Drexel has to tell him. And he's like, man, I just didn't realize it was so bad out there in these streets. And that's what a lot of these guys don't know. They're like, well, I found mine, so why can't you find yours? And I'm not saying you can't find yours. I'm just saying it's a lot more difficult to find one.
Yeah.
And he said, if there's a unicorn for every guy, then most women are decent. And I said, I don't even think there's a unicorn out there for every guy. I think unicorns are extremely rare. And I think they're getting even more rare. And I think there's a lot of women out there that are not going to work with most guys. And even if there was a woman that was like a unicorn for a certain guy, that doesn't mean that she actually wants him. She may have her eyes set on somebody else. He might be the one that she might be the one that he wants. Like, yeah, that's the one I want to spend the rest of my life with. But she doesn't feel that way. And that might be his, you know, unicorn that he is, that he wants. And it may never happen.
I think there's a lot more options for that, but you might have to look in now, different places outside your comfort zone.
One, yeah, that's true. But one issue that, well, no, there's guys that do cold approach all the time.
No, there's some people that don't mind hitting, but they're going to the wrong places to meet the women that they're wanting to find. Kind of like you're wanting genuine sushi, but you go to the local grocery store
right,
to get it.
Right. I mean, that's true, too, but that doesn't mean that all your options are going to be there
I don't know. It never guarantees
anything.
Yeah,
it's never a guarantee.
But you have a better chance of looking where,
and plus,
depending on what you're looking for.
And, you know, I mean, also we have to understand, look, most of the red pill rage and the black pillers is because people don't understand, guys don't understand female nature. I mean, female nature is not what, it's not male nature. It's completely different. Women are not men. And a lot of guys have tried to say this. TFM said this several times. A woman doesn't love like a man does. A man has a different sense of romance and relationships than a woman does. They want different things. They're biologically programmed to want different things. That's what a lot of guys need to understand.
Like sleeping with a woman's easy, but building love, actually, you have to get to know them and let them grow on you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're even willing to do that. Some women have really horrible personalities. Doesn't matter.
I think the guys that go straight after a woman for a hookup, it's mainly lust. It doesn't really have anything to do with love.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's, I mean, to each their own in that situation. But I don't know. I mean, like, some of these guys, like, again, they have their blinders on and they're not really seeing a lot of it. But then there's like guys that are saying that simping is a big problem too, and they were saying that women do simp. And I would say, okay, I will give you this: about 25% of women may simp for a man, but I think the number in today's age is 85% for men. 85%
are
simping compared to what women are doing. There's women out there that might like Henry Cavill and the Jason Momoa, the guys I watched in Justice League today. They like that movie for other reasons, I'm sure. But at the same time, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are going crazy over these VTubers, over these other characters. There's a lot of simps in there generally. I mean, I was expecting a lot of simps in the hentai server. But, I mean, it's good to know that there's some guys in there. But there's some guys in there, though, that are generally like, yeah, this is a problem, you know. And a lot of guys, like, they couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It was like, this is misogynist. This is horrible. You can't talk about women like this. And like, it's like, why are there...
Well, you must not have a lot of female friends, then.
Degenerates in a... why are there degenerates? It's like, I know it's a hentai place, and why are there actual degenerates here? I was like, well, what did you expect? You know, I was just playing and being fun. They moved, they moved us all to politics. And when we moved into politics, that's when we had the big conversation. And it was good. As soon as I got the troll out of there, I found out that a lot of the men actually did, for the most part, agree with some of the things. But they were saying that there was one guy now, the lovesick guy, said, okay, there were a bunch of guys on the train today that were loud and annoying and, just acting like assholes, and the girls were telling him to stop. And I said, well, those are the kind of guys that those girls will end up banging, though.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, they don't get interested in that stuff until, basically, he said they stop being interested in that around 18. I'm like,
really?
No, yeah.
Now,
they
I've
don't.
Known plenty of them older than that.
They don't. I said it lasts in the 30 and 40.
Yep.
I said, dude, no. Those are the kind of guys that those girls are interested in. He doesn't know.
My buddy sent me a meme the other day and said, I'm 30 and ready to settle down. And it looked like a vagina, but it was like the cut open part of a turkey. And it looked just haggard.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the realest meme I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's true, man. And, I mean, these guys, they don't understand. They're like, oh, they're living in a very blue pill world. And I mean, one of the person, they literally didn't know what the red pill was, so I had to really kind of talk to them about it. And then that's when they were talking about, oh, but it's really an estrogen pill. I'm like, okay, that might be what the director says now, but that's not why we do the red pill. And I did a lot of shaming on the black pill, because I said, look, these incels, they said part of it is they blame other people.
Yeah.
And then I said, look, okay, you got part of it right. The second part is that they're very much like women in the fact that they blame the fact
everyone
that they can't get...
No,
listen to this.
All right.
That's what he said, but this is what I'm saying. They blame... A woman will blame her lack of attractiveness for the reason she can't get a man. She'll basically say, oh, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I'm too that, my breasts aren't big enough, my butt's not big enough, and, you know, just all kinds of things. Now, some of these things might be legitimate health issues. Maybe she could make herself look better, true. But for a man, what a man needs to do is develop a hobby, personalities,
definitely.
Personality, not personalities, personality, interests, be funny, learn stuff.
You know, Keanu Reeves said a quote at, you know, he doesn't, learning to be by yourself makes women want you more. He said the fact that he can take care of himself, go out, wear a nice suit, have a nice steak and all this makes him more desirable to women than anything else.
Because he represents a strong... Well, he's a high-value male, and also...
Well, besides that, if he just did what he's saying there, it really works.
Well, yeah, I agree that. I agree with that, but there's some guys out there that still have trouble even with that. I mean, there's a lot... There is something to be said for location, and a lot of people said, yeah, you can do location.
Now, there are benefits to being with a woman, but the right woman.
Right.
You have to enjoy...
Now, the issue, and even one of the things that the guy said to me, the guy, still talking about the guy in the train.
Yeah.
He said, a lot of my friends are married, but they're not married on paper. He said, basically, they're not getting married anymore. They just don't see the use in it. They are paying for the ceremony, but they're not...
Getting the marriage license.
And they're paying stupid amounts of money on the ceremony. And the guy, the one fucking guy that was talking about these high-maintenance women on there, he was talking about, how much did y'all pay for your engagement ring? I was like, what?
Not many people are doing that.
Not many people are doing that. And I'm like, God, what is this guy living in? Some kind of fantasy world? And I mean, and a lot of guys, like, he was shaming guys for 2D waifus. Hard shaming them.
Yeah.
He was like, the waifuism shit needs to stop, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, I understand the use of the 2D waifu and the purpose of the waifuism. And all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it is a coping mechanism, and it's a useful coping mechanism. You know, I've talked to psychologists about this. I've talked to a lot of people about this situation. There's no real issue in it. And of course he goes on and talks about, well, he actually went and he asked the chat. He says, how many of you guys are any of you guys interested in high value women? Guess how many people said yes?
How many?
Nobody. Nobody said yes. They're like, hell no. No. It's like, I love them. I love the high value, high maintenance women. I'm like,
well, high value and high maintenance.
I'm not saying that. He said high maintenance.
Yeah, high maintenance.
He's like, no, high maintenance girls are a pain in the ass. But basically, this guy was just.
They always want money, or.
Yeah.
You don't know if they love you or just want you for what you
can. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the issues. That's one of the big issues that I have with, there it is. Finally. See, I knew I would get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one of the issues I have with these guys, man. Like, there's a guy in there talking about engagement rings and marriages and how expensive, and all the guys are like, I don't have time for it. I'm not dealing with it. I don't want to get married. I don't have time for relationships. I don't want to deal with relationships. A lot of guys in there just straight up saying, I'm not into it. Hmm. You know? And there's another guy, I'm not going to talk about who he is,
yeah,
but he is a hentai game creator. I'm not going to mention him. But basically, he said that he's been having a lot of problems lately. I said he was making a game, but he was having a lot of health problems. Well, it turns out he is a military guy, and his wife wants to marry him and take advantage of those military benefits. Y'all see what's going down. Y'all see what's fitting to happen, don't you? Is she's going to take care of those military benefits, all right? I feel so bad because the guys had... maybe I shouldn't. It's one of those things, like, should I feel bad about this guy?
He's going to make his own decision, but...
He's got really bad... He says he's got really bad mental issues with ADHD and all that stuff.
I got ADHD, but I ain't going to blame it on...
Yeah. Yeah, well, he said he's got a lot of really bad mental problems that has been messing him up with the game. And he's only, like, halfway finished with it. And, I just keep thinking that what's going to happen is this... He's going to get with this thought. And she's basically going to go take him for what he has. And after she does that, he might not be able to make the game anymore. I don't have the funds. Because people are paying him on the little Patreon that he has. But, dude, they're going to look at every bit of money. Don't forget about the Bitcoin guy who talked to the girl and said, hey, look how much money I made on Bitcoin. And then she pulled out a gun and demanded that he basically come inside her because she was forcing him to get her pregnant.
That almost sounds like an urban legend.
Yeah, but it really happened.
Yeah.
It's some crazy shit.
Yep. I don't ever tell anyone about my finances.
Don't ever talk about your finances. Ever, 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 never.
Oh, yeah.
But we know, guys, that it ain't going to work. I feel bad because I like the game. I like the idea of what the kind of game this guy's making. Again, I'm not going to talk about what kind of game it is because I don't want people to look it up and, you know, connect the dots. And no, it's not one that I've promoted or talked about previously. I forgot it existed. But I looked at it and I went to the... And I basically... I subbed to his Patreon because I was like, oh, cool. I'll get a demo version of the game that I can play. That'd be cool to introduce to you guys on an open mic. And then I went inside the general and I noticed they were talking about his life and what was going on with him, and I was like, oh no, this guy's about to make a horrible mistake, and I can't stop him because he's on that, oh, I think I might have found the one logic, and I can't do anything about it. Like, I can't prevent this. You just gotta do what you gotta do, man. You gotta keep going and let people make mistakes. You want to save people, but I even told TFM, I said, you can't save everyone. You can't. Yeah. You can't save everyone. Sometimes people have to make a mistake to learn a lesson.
A lot of that is people being coddled as children
when
they grow up. They don't know how to make their own decisions.
One thing that I talked to with the creator of this hentai game that I have talked about, he said, look, I'm almost 40. He's almost 40 as well. Like I said, we're both almost 40. So he remembers when men and women would talk, and he says that technology is really responsible for a lot of it. They don't go out and play. Kids don't go out and play. They don't develop the proper social skills. They're not doing anything that they're supposed to do. And
it's
really
been the past 10 years or so, I'd say.
Maybe
a little.
Well, it's the internet. They grew up. Well, and one of the things he said, you gotta understand. These kids grew up with online friends. They didn't grow up the way we did, where we kids go outside and play. They didn't have go outside and play. They have go online and talk to your friends and play online games with your friends. You don't really get to see your friends that much, except maybe in school. And if they make everything virtual, then it probably will be even,
worse.
Less time to, they don't get to talk to girls. They don't get to understand the differences between boys and girls. I knew boys and girls were different when I, started playing with other kids. Like, you learn that.
Like
and
in
he
high
said,
school,
and there's,
too.
Well, and there's also not any imagination going on. And this is something that the guy really agreed with. I said, look, we used to have imagination. We used to go out, and one guy said, we used to play Commandos. We used to believe we were X-Men and stuff like that, and we would have fun.
I was a lot younger when I was doing that.
Yeah, well, that was but that's important.
Oh, yeah.
But that's important in growing up and developing imagination and learning those skills that you need. And they're not getting them. Fortnite and Roblox are not going to teach you those skills.
I mean, it takes a form of imagination, but not...
Not like you're supposed to.
It's more someone else's imagination.
You're playing in somebody else's world. You're not going out into the real world. You're not exploring and experiencing. I used to go out into the woods and the forests and all that kind of stuff, man. Play out in the countryside. I remember there was a suburban... I lived in a suburb at one time, and there was like a little park area where we would go and play and hang out and just all kinds of stuff. The teenagers used to smoke cigarettes over there all the time. And I mean, that's what they did. They smoked cigarettes. Cigarettes were cool back then, so that's what they were doing. Look at me, I smoke. And it's like, oh, you wanna smoke some cigarettes with us? Yeah, I was really stupid. Yeah, I was lame, wasn't it?
Nothing behind why I smoke.
After that, they all got into meth, unfortunately, in that area, because that's
because
what...
Because cigarettes weren't cool enough.
I guess not. They had to go to meth, right? We gotta lose a few teeth. Yeah, it's a sad thing, but it happened. I don't regret those times when I used to hang out. Like I said, I used to hang out with a lot of the young kids. I was more of an older mentor. The parents were cool with it. They liked the kids hanging around an older person that could kind of teach them things and stuff. And they thought it was pretty cool. Like, I got along with the parents, and we had a lot of fun, and it's just cool. But those days are long gone, Kids have changed. I couldn't say I'd want to do the same thing. The kids of today are not the kids of back then. I even catch up with one of the guys that I used to hang around with when I was a teenager, and he's doing pretty well. He's still into a lot of the hard rock and metal that I was listening to back in the day. He found him a little girlfriend. She's not great looking, but he likes her. Whatever. He found him a bigger girl, and he likes her. And I got another guy that I'm good friends with. He found a big girl, and he's okay with her. I don't know. There's a lot of these guys getting with the big girls and just like, okay, this works for me. This is fine. Look, if that works for you, it's great. But I will tell you one thing. Oh, I got to show you this.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with our show, but since you're here, I'm going to go ahead and show you this. And don't speak out on who it is. But this is interesting. I will show you this. You're gonna be surprised. Or maybe you won't be.
Let me see who that is.
Well, don't say it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so I wonder what happened. Were they married?
Is that his original one?
No.
Because
that's not her.
Look like her.
That's not her. Well, no. He got rid of the woman.
And he has a kid with the other one.
Oh, yeah, he does have a kid with the other one. So what in the world's going to happen to him now?
But, you know, when we were all working together, he kind of had wandering eye anyway.
Yeah, he had wandering eye bad.
He just wasn't able to do anything with it.
Yeah.
I still have a wandering eye.
Yeah, he had a wandering eye bad. And I think he finally... He wanted... Okay. I'll make this story short, guys. I'll make this story short. Basically, we had a guy who worked with us. He was a short dude.
Oh, yeah.
Really short, skinny dude.
I'm still friends with
him. Yeah. He's cool. I got no problem with him. I smoked weed with him a lot.
I've just haven't seen him in a while.
But anyway, basically, the guy, he was dating this big girl that they had a kid
not
with.
Not even fat.
Yo, no. She was kind of big, bro.
She wasn't as big as what?
Oh, no. She was pretty good size.
Huh.
And
I don't remember.
Yeah, I do. She was a pretty big girl, but he liked
her.
And they got
big to you being cold.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying she was pushing 3.
You're pushing 120, girl. You're a little thick for me. Call me back when you go to 80 pounds. When HIV really kicks in.
Well, no, what I was saying, though, this girl was pushing 3. She was a big girl. And he was actually, I remember he would come into work. This is real story. This is a true story. Hold on, let me tell this story.
All right, tell that story.
This is a true story. He would say, oh, my back hurts. I was like, oh, I messed my back up. I was like, and he would have real bad problems moving around, lifting things. And I'm like, dude, did you hurt your back working? He said, no. I think I hurt my back getting it on. And I'm like, dude, yeah, looking at your size and her, if, dude, you're trying to lift her up, you're like trying to lift up a damn buffalo or something. You're not going to have a good day.
And what a nice thing to say
and
about someone's girlfriend.
They're not together anymore.
Not now, but...
But, I mean, I was saying... Well, I mean, I was just saying...
Probably the straw that broke the guy's back and was like, you know something I should...
But you know what the problem...
Now, she wasn't 300.
She was big.
She was big, but you got to think
she was
short,
a lot bigger than
she's
him.
She's probably like a woman that's like 5'4 or 5'5, whatever.
I don't know what his...
It doesn't take near as much weight to look 300... And I don't even think she looked 300.
She was big, though. She was much bigger than he was.
Because I can tell you now, I'm pretty packed on muscle and all that. And I might be 260, 270.
Right. Well, I mean, she's pretty big. But she's not... She's about 260, 270. About that. That's what
she
I would say.
She might be 250. Like my mom
250, 260,
5'10".
Yeah.
And I would say she's not even in the...
But she's much bigger than he is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And she was way too much for him to handle. They had a kid together, but she was way too much for him to handle. And basically what happened was she got... I mean, it got to the point where he was constantly looking at other girls. All the time we were working, he was constantly looking at other girls. He was looking at skinny girls.
But here's the thing.
He was always looking at skinny girls. I was like, dude, you got this big girl at home, but you constantly keep looking at skinny girls. Like, that was the one thing he was looking at. Not one girl he ever looked at was a big girl.
Well,
it was always skinny.
She probably was skinnier before she had a... You know, that when we met her, she just probably within the past year had that child.
Right.
So, I mean...
No, I don't know. That kid was like 3 or 4.
No.
Yeah.
Now he is, but he wasn't at the time. He was not even talking or walking, so...
You sure?
I'm positive. Go
look. Okay.
He was a baby.
Okay.
But, yeah, she hadn't And even then, you know, sometimes it takes women a second to lose that. So I'm not.
But some of them never do. Like, it's basically what. This is what Terrence Pop calls pulling the pin on the fat grenade.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, when that happens, yeah, a lot of guys, they're going to start having that wandering eye for skinny, attractive-looking women. And that's what he did. He constantly looked at these skinny, attractive women. He constantly was looking at them. And I said, well, it makes sense that he would find him another skinny, attractive woman. And he lost his job for doing something really stupid. I don't want to say what it was. But,
Well, he got a much better job.
Yeah, he's got a better job now. And he found a woman that's a bit more attractive and skinny, and I think he's going to be hopefully happier with her.
I had to look that up, see what she's about. There's one girl that he is friends with that we knew from the drive. She came out and flirted with me one time.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Blah, blah, blah. But she's just about to move to, it's not far off, but it's about maybe an hour.
Well, I said we weren't going to do that much banter, and we've done like an hour of banter. So let's just go on and get with the articles. We actually have articles, so let's do the articles. This is the Grim Articles, it's Grim Articles and Rant Show, not the Grim Rant Show. So let's do some articles.
Let's just rant another hour. We got it in us.
Well, that's cool. I like that. Okay, somebody was just telling me. Yeah, I know about those certain things. I'm aware of those, as long as they're doing those. Okay, back to what I care about now. Let me get back in my server. Article repository, here we go. First, the biggest news. Biggest news of, like, the fucking year. Elon Musk becomes Twitter's largest shareholder. Tesla chief executive, who has been critical of Twitter's content moderation policies, has just bought 9.2% of the social media company. When Elon Musk mulled taking Tesla private in 2018, he posted on Twitter to tell the world about it. When he got stuck in traffic in 2016, he tweeted the idea of an underground tunnel system to alleviate soul-destroying congestion. And when he challenged President Vladimir Putin of Russia to one-on-one combat last month, he broadcasted on Twitter. Now Mr. Musk is putting his money where he mouths off. On Monday, a regulatory filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission revealed that Mr. Musk, the billionaire chief executive of Tesla and SpaceX, and the world's wealthiest person, has bought a 9.2% stake in Twitter, the social media platform where he has over 80 million followers. I'm one of them. The purchase appears to make Mr. Musk Twitter's largest shareholder, ahead of the 8.8% stake owned by the mutual fund company Vanguard, and dwarfing the 2.3% stake of Jack Dorsey, Twitter's former chief executive. Mr. Musk's Twitter investment, which he has been accumulating since at least last month, was worth about $2.89 billion, based on the closing price of the company's stock on Friday. But by the end of Monday, after news of his buy-in sent Twitter's share price soaring more than 27%, it was worth about $3.7 billion. The shares are a fraction of Mr. Musk's reported $270 billion net worth. Billion plus net worth. Despite his penchant for sharing everything on Twitter, from business ideas, insults, and memes to his past weekend, his experience at a famed Berlin nightclub, Mr. Musk was uncharacteristically mum on the purchase of the company's shares, at least initially. Wow. Oh, hi, LOL, he tweeted on Monday without elaborating after news of his investment had spread across Twitter. Mr. Musk, 50, did not respond to a request for comment. Twitter declined to comment. Mr. Musk has brought into Twitter at a delicate time for the company. Has bought into Twitter, not brought into Twitter, which is based in San Francisco. Mr. Dorsey stepped down as chief executive in November, plans to leave the company's board when his term ends this year after facing a down an activist shareholder and grappling with criticism from lawmakers and regulators about free speech, censorship, and toxic content. Mr. Dorsey handed the reins to Parag Agrawal, Twitter's chief technology officer, who cuts a lower profile in Silicon Valley than Mr. Dorsey did. Mr. Agrawal has reorganized the executive ranks of the company. He is also deeply interested in a decentralized version of Twitter, one of Mr. Dorsey's last pet projects at the company. Under that effort, Twitter would shift online power in the hands of its users and challenge behemoths like Meta, the owner of Facebook and Instagram. You don't want to do that with Twitter. What? Flutter is funding an independent effort to build a so-called open protocol for social media, weaving crypto into its app and opening up developers who want to build custom features for Twitter. You don't want to do that with Twitter. What exactly Mr. Musk plans to do with Twitter's stake is unclear. He has criticized the company in recent weeks for failing in his view to adhere to free speech principles, and he has argued that users should be allowed to choose the algorithms and select the tweets they see or build their own instead of relying on Twitter to curate posts. The idea was one Mr. Dorsey championed while leading Twitter. The choice of which algorithm to use or not should be open to everyone, he said last month in response to a tweet from Mr. Musk pushing for algorithms that outsiders can build for the platform. It is unclear whether Mr. Musk will ask or be invited to join Twitter's board. He filed a securities document called the 13G filing, indicating that he planned for the investment to be passive and that he did not intend to pursue control of the company. But Wall Street has already started speculating that Mr. Musk could change the status of the investment, continue buying Twitter shares, or even try to acquire the company outright. Wow. We would expect this passive stake is just the start of broader conversations with the Twitter board management that could ultimately lead to an active stake and a potential more aggressive ownership of Twitter, Daniel Ives, an analyst at Wedbush Securities, said on Monday morning. Stephen Davidoff Solomon, a professor at the School of Law at the University of California, Berkeley, said the filing lets Mr. Musk sort of hide whatever intent he might have with respect to Twitter. But he added filing as a passive investor with actual intent to push for control by switching filing types is fraudulent, though rarely prosecuted and difficult to prove. Wow. And, okay. So there's a... Okay, no, we're almost done. Okay. Mr. Musk's long and complicated personal relationship with Twitter has already gotten him in trouble, with tweets about Tesla's finances resulting in legal wranglings with SEC. If Mr. Musk pushes for change at Twitter, he would not be the first agitated investor the company has had to contend with. The activist firm Elliott Management took a position in Twitter and called for Mr. Dorsey's removal in 2020. It later struck a deal with Twitter that included a $1 billion investment from the private equity firm Silver Lake and brought on new board members, including Silver Lake's co-chief executive Egan Durban. Egan. That's interesting. Well, maybe it's Egon, like from Ghostbusters.
Maybe.
Silver Lake teamed up with Mr. Musk in his efforts to take the Tesla private. Mr. Musk's list of other business ventures he runs long. Beyond Tesla and SpaceX, he is the founder of The Boring Company, a Tuttle construction services company. Adding a role to the list could irk Tesla shareholders. In the last 2 months of the last year, Mr. Musk sold around $16 billion of Tesla stock, equivalent to roughly 10% of his stake in the electric vehicle company. Executives who have juggled media projects with other private endeavors have sometimes found themselves in politicians' crosshairs. Former President Donald J. Trump, for example, took a dim view of Amazon because he disagreed with the coverage in Washington Post. While Jeff Bezos bought it, Jeff Bezos bought in 2013. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Which Jeff Bezos bought in 2013? I didn't know Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post. That's...
Yeah, I've heard it.
That's interesting. Tesla is a large beneficiary of environmental credits while SpaceX pursues government contracts. For Mr. Musk, the investment may also raise the volume of noise that he faces on Twitter. Already on Monday, Twitter users were inundating the billionaire with requests for an edit button on the social media service and asking him to reinstate certain banned accounts. Yep. So, we're going to go talk about some other things.
Yep.
Actually, these are good things. First one we have is from the New York Post, not the Washington Post. And Tempest is giving us some good articles, so thank you, Tempest. Couple who asked for female embryo sues fertility clinic over baby boy. Heather Willem Rautenberg said she would only have kids with her wife, Robbie Rautenberg Willem, if they could have girls. Because Heather was still traumatized from being sexually assaulted on two different occasions after college. Heather and Robbie say that CNY Fertility Clinic in Latham, New York, assured the Buffalo couple it would not be a problem. The lab could determine the sex of any embryo created using an egg from Robbie and donor's sperm before it was transferred into Heather. But when Heather was 15 weeks pregnant, having been assaulted by the clinic that the embryo was female... Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm reading a little too fast. But when Heather was 15 weeks pregnant, having been assured by the clinic that the embryo was female, she says, they found out she was carrying a boy. The news sent her into a dark depression. After their son's birth in December of 2020, Heather became suicidal and wasn't able to bond with the baby. Now with the help of Eric Rubel of Warshaw Bernstein LLP, Heather and Robbie are suing CNY in 11 counts, including breach of contract, medical malpractice, and battery. Here, Heather tells Amy Klein how much she loves her son and what it's like to have a pregnancy and new motherhood that traumatizes you. I was always afraid of hospitals and have a lot of physical pain during medical procedures on my reproductive region, so we thought we would start reciprocal IVF with Robbie carrying my daughter. She got pregnant, but at 8-10 weeks, we found out the baby wasn't growing. Robbie is, I guess, a man, like a woman. Yeah. It's not a woman, it's like a woman.
A man, a woman.
Seeing the look of devastation on Robbie's face after the miscarriage made me feel so helpless. I said, we have to do it. And we started my IVF circle that day to carry her baby. I got pregnant on the first try and was very excited. I felt like a badass, like I was doing something for my family. We felt attached to this baby girl and it's going to be a tiny Robbie, which was the best part. What? At our 15th week appointment with our OBG... Hold on. Didn't they just have a regular sex? Because, like, if she's a man and she's a woman, then isn't that, like, sperm and egg sex? Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean...
Sperm and eggs? Hot off the plate.
Yeah. Went to check the results of the QNatal test, a diagnostic blood test to rule out chromosomal abnormalities, which also discloses the baby's sex. She said, wait, do you know the sex of the baby? We're having a girl, I said. It's very important to me to have a girl. She said, that's not what this says. Our jaws dropped to the floor. I was convinced it had to be someone else's result. I looked at Robbie and said, what if it's not yours? Who's in my body? That's when I flipped out. That's when I felt my body was taken hostage. I assumed it was someone else's embryo, not the wrong embryo of ours. It scared the shit out of me. I don't know how to explain this. It felt like there was an alien living inside me. What? I said to Robbie, if this is someone else's kid, we'll have to give it back. Our OB offered us the option to abort. I respect those decisions. That's never a choice I can make in these circumstances. I was hoping beyond hope someone would have our baby and we would switch after birth and it would be this happy story. We scheduled an ultrasound the next day. This is the worst night of my life. I had an overwhelming sense of immobility. I remember lying in my bedroom thinking, this can't be happening. Not only was the baby in my body, not ours, but the baby in my body was male and he was put there against my will, just like rape.
Was it really not theirs or was...
I don't know. They just got a sperm from the clinic and I guess it was... I guess she says the clinic
it's
raped
very
her.
Important that it's a
I
girl.
Started having flashbacks. I was waiting in the bed, which is what I was doing. Both times I got assaulted. Robbie was afraid to leave me alone. We just had to wait the next morning to find out if the baby was male. It was dumbfounding and traumatizing. Yeah, it had to be a girl. Or they were going to just...
Throw it out
or something.
They're
going
to do reverse China theory.
I guess... I met Robbie at SUNY Geneseo as undergrads in 2002. One day during an internship, we were asked to act out a scene as a couple. We were directed to hold hands, and we were still holding hands at the end of class. After I broke up with my girlfriend, we started dating. It was a brief time post-college. We weren't together. During that period of time, two different male acquaintances assaulted me. Robbie and I got back together in 2008 and married in 2012. Before, I wavered for a long time if I chose to have children. But we talked about what our family would look like. Two daughters, and I thought maybe if I'm brave enough, we'll have a family.
they don't know.
Jesus. This is nuts.
That's like a trans saying, it's really important that I'm a girl. Like, no, that's not how nature works.
I was hospitalized after holding in farts. We'll go to that one next.
Oh.
When my sister told me she was trying to have a baby with her husband, she said, I can have a baby that's partially my favorite person. And I realized, oh my gosh, I could carry Robbie's baby. I imagined a tiny little Robbie in my body, and that felt very safe and exciting. What?
That sounds weird,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
When we retrieved both of our eggs for IVF, we were 35 and considered advanced maternal age. We wanted to minimize the risk of anything going wrong, so the clinic recommended genetic testing of the embryos. We selected CNY because they agreed we would be able to select female embryos. We never intended to use the males. We didn't want to have a boy because of the assaults and because of the socialization of boys. There's constant
That's
socialization
so stupid.
Of what it means to be a real man. People say, oh, he's a boy, let him hit you, and all the camouflage and guns don't help. It reinforces masculinity, and that's a reminder of the assaults every time. Oh, God. Can we just...
Well, I bet I know where they...
Send these people to Mars. I don't want to get rid of them, but they can go to Mars. Like, yeah, I'm not saying...
I say Jupiter. I think the weight of the planet gravity there crushes people instantly.
After we found out I was carrying a boy, the internal investigation to determine whose embryo it was took 7 weeks. I was convinced the whole time it wasn't ours because the clinic knew not to transfer a male. It wasn't a preference, it was a need. During that time, I had no connection to the baby inside. I figured I'd be giving it away to its real parents. I tried not to think about being pregnant.
But found out it was there.
7 weeks later, we got an email that this was our embryo. It was indeed male, and it was indeed related to Robbie. No one else had our baby. There was no female baby coming. It brought up the loss of our first baby like she died again. I was so furious. It felt like a deep betrayal. How the fuck do you mess up that bad? They messed up something so integral. The fact that there are no legal requirements about these procedures should strike fear in the hearts of all parents using fertility services. Meanwhile, our family and friends were so happy. Nobody understood the complexity of my feelings. That was the most isolating thing, that we had a healthy baby. But I had no emotional connection, and now I had to wrap my head around having a child forever that I wasn't planning on. The whole pregnancy... Whoops.
I'm going to ease out, wash my hands. This pisses me off so bad.
Okay.
Got to pee.
The whole pregnancy, I couldn't connect to the baby. I hate saying that. It was painful. It's a terrible experience. About 27 weeks pregnant, I started bleeding and was rushed to the emergency room. I had a placental abruption, which I later found happens to someone who has suffered physical trauma or stress. I was put on modified bed rest. I just wanted the baby out of me. That sounds horrible, but it's true. We were so worried about me going off the deep end, we didn't talk about the baby unless we had to. Our son was born in December 2020 and placed in ICU. We went to see him every day for 19 days. At home, I was trying to breastfeed him, but it was really hard. I wanted skin-to-skin connection, but I ended up wearing things so he wouldn't touch my chest. When he did, it sent electric shockwaves through me. I started experiencing extreme anxiety. I would look at the baby and it would contort to the faces of all these grown men I know. It was so creepy. Whenever that happened, I had to give the baby to Robbie. I literally thought I was going insane. There were several incidences of suicidal ideation, some of which were very dangerous. I had complex postpartum depression. I never want to come off ungrateful. If I was, he wouldn't be here. Baby is a year and a half now, and I think about the mistake all the time. He's a lovely kid. He smiles just like Robbie. He has Robbie's dimples, and it makes it easier. Our son is made of magic. He does things to be funny. He'll use certain tones of voice and laughs to make us crack up. He's hilarious, and he's been an easy baby. I think we connect on similarities. He's a very compassionate kid. I used to bring him into the garden when he was in my belly and tell him what I was planting, and now we both love trees and both love dogs. Okay, well, that's nice. I feel like I know him and how he's feeling. When it's just us, it's amazing, but when we're out in the world, he's a symbol of something, being socialized with the same people who did bad stuff to me. I feel immense guilt and shame because I wasn't able to be emotionally present for him. I don't want to play the victim. He's an innocent being. He didn't deserve any of this. Well, that's true. The clinic messed with something so integral, our baby's first formative years. That's the reason I'm doing this, is I love my kids so much. We think our son deserved that bond from the start. Robbie adds, during the time, we didn't know the baby was ours. We thought we were carrying someone else's child. I had the same experiences of trying to connect to the baby. After we found out it wasn't a girl and it was our baby boy, it wasn't like a light switch was turned on. Even though I don't have Heather's trauma and re-traumatization, it was also hard for me to connect. It's not about the in utero and birth experience. It's about the socialization that a boy has in the world. Even while we fight against these social norms, the repetitive narrative is forced masculinity. And we did not sign up for that. And it's a reminder for me and Heather of that pain that I shared with Heather as she was going through it. I share Heather's pain that I didn't get to have the celebratory chapter that many people do when having a baby. This is the only child we will have with my genetic material, and it was a terrible experience. They changed when we met him and had an opportunity to hold him. We both love our child. We had to work harder than anyone should have to work to make sure we're all alive. Well...
That is so fucking ignorant.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let's see here.
Like, yeah, I've seen the instances where a guy's like, I hope it's a boy, I hope it's a boy. But when they get a girl, they're just as happy. It's not a big deal as they're making it.
Right.
Now they're turning something that's biology into victimhood. It's stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't get the article to,
man.
Can't get the article to pop up about the farts.
I was born in the wrong century, I think.
And there's more. There is more. The sexual assault survivor has sued the fertility clinic for implanting the male embryo.
Hmm. So stupid.
Yeah.
Just be happy with what you got, bitch.
Having male fetus inside her to rape. Basically, we know the main story. Originally meant to carry Heather's embryo, but miscarried. Heather then offered to carry Robbie's embryo, but the couple discovering they were expecting a boy at 15 weeks struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts. The couple's son is now 15 months old, and the trio are bonding. Clinic has refused to comment on the lawsuit filed against them. They said basically she's suing the fertility clinic on 11 counts, including breach of contract, medical malpractice, and battery. They are seeking unspecified damages. CNY Fertility has refused to comment on the case.
Hmm. Now, if they guaranteed her one, maybe, but I'm sure there was something they signed where it's like, you know, this is new technology, or I don't know how new the technology is.
Listen to this! Hold on, we gotta go through this. This is new. This isn't even an article, but you guys want to hear it. Palm Springs Council to offer guaranteed $900 a month income to transgender residents. Officials admit the $200,000 scheme for 20 people probably costs more to set up than it'll pay out. Wow! Palm Springs is going to spend $200,000 on a guaranteed income scheme that only applies to the city's transgender and non-binary residents. The California Cities Council voted unanimously on Thursday in favor of the pilot scheme, which will give 20 residents between $600 and $900 a month for 2 years. Council member Christy Halstead, who backed the scheme, told the Los Angeles Times that she felt incredibly proud of the city for coming down on the right side of history. That's how they say it.
$900 a year?
No.
A month. You said year for a second there, I thought.
No, $600 and $900 a month for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Right side of history, supporting our trans and non-binary gender non-conforming community. She tweeted, in the city of Palm Springs, we are proud to be a beacon of hope to the rest of the nation. We've worked hard to build an inclusive community. Our latest proposal is a guaranteed income pilot program for trans and non-binary people. Yet the mayor of Palm Springs, Lisa Middleton, who is herself transgender, said she did not think the scheme would succeed, but voted for it anyway. My serious concern is the ability of these guaranteed income programs to scale up to the magnitude of issues that are before us, she said, despite voting in favor of the pilot program. I've been wrong many times, said Middleton, the first transgender mayor in California. I could be wrong again on this one. That is fucked.
They should sue for bias.
Yeah!
Me, like the first black mayor, like, we're gonna pay reparations back for, you know, nothing y'all did, but what, you know, the people 150, 160 years ago did.
A former Yale administrator admitted to stealing over $40 million from school, which he used to purchase travel, a slew of luxury cars, and multiple homes. Wow. A former Yale administrator, Jamie Patron, stole more than $40 million in electronics from the university and used them to fund a lavish lifestyle, prosecutors said in a release on Monday. Patron pleaded guilty in federal court on Monday to two counts of wire fraud and for filing a false tax return for a part in a scheme, NPR reported. Beginning at least as early as 2013, Patron engaged in a scheme where she ordered or caused others working for her to order millions of dollars of electronic hardware from Yale vendors using Yale Med funds and arranged to ship the stolen hardware for an out-of-state business in exchange for money, said the release from U.S. Attorney's Office in Connecticut. At the Yale University School of Medicine, Patron had the authority to buy electronic equipment in orders less than $10,000 and would do so periodically, even inventing studies that the technology was supposed to be used for. The business on the other end would resell the electronics and then wire her a portion of the funds to her Massive Entertainment LLC company account. Wow! Prosecutors added the equipment stolen amounts to about $40 million in losses for Yale. Patron used the profits, they said, to fund a lavish lifestyle, including real estate, cars, and travel. Patron agreed to turn over $500,000 in her LLC's bank account, plus six cars. A 2014 Mercedes-Benz G550, a 2017 Land Rover, a 2015 Cadillac Escalade Premium, a 2020 Mercedes-Benz Model E450A, a 2016 Cadillac Escalade, and a 2018 Dodge Charger. Mm. Prosecutors said Patron would liquidate her three properties in Connecticut and potentially might have to for another in Georgia to meet her restitution obligation, which refers to reimbursing the victim of a crime one committed. Her illegal side hustle went on until August 2021, NPR reported, citing court documents. An anonymous tip told Yale officials that she was acquiring suspiciously high volumes of computer equipment. The school looked into her records and eventually passed what was discovered to law enforcement. Patron was arrested in September 2021, released on a $1 million bond. Oh, of course, the release said. One count of wire fraud has a maximum sentence of 20 years, and filing a false tax return has three. U.S. District Judge Vanessa L. Bryant is scheduled to sentence her in June 2022. Mm. Okay. The last article we have for today. Wall Street Journal. Teen girls are still getting TikTok-related tics and other disorders. Remember, we talked about this. We talked about this a long time ago. You weren't here. Tourette videos posted on the platform continue to draw many viewers, and doctors say teen girls keep showing up at their offices with functional neurological issues. Last fall, I reported on a... Oh, no. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to find this article. Give me a minute, guys. I'm going to find this fucking article. Just give me a second. I'm going to find it. I'm definitely going to have to... I'm going to have to hunt this down real quick. Okay, I found the article. So we're going to copy that. Hold on. Okay, we're going to get in there, because I'm sure as soon as I look for this, it's going to pop up. Just give it a minute. No? Hold on. Because I think I got too much. Yeah, I typed too much in that bar. You gotta be careful with what you get. Oh! Apparently it didn't do it. I don't know. Oh shit. I don't want to archive this right now. Apparently nobody bothered to archive this. Shit. I don't know how long it's going to take. We'll see. Oh, it doesn't seem like it's taking that long. It doesn't take that long. Just give me a few seconds. I didn't know we were going to professionally archive a shit right now, but we're doing that. Okay, it's almost done. Just got a little bit more. It's gonna archive these videos, which I'm not interested in. But yeah, if you ever want an article, just come on. I can't believe this was an archive. Did people not care, honestly? It's almost done. I hope. I mean, how much more is there to go? I've never done one of these. I haven't done one of these in a long time. Just check out the footage. This is a pretty badass boss fight. I was really surprised to see a boss like this in a hentai game. I really was.
A tentacle monster?
No, that's Poseidon. You don't notice he's the god of the god of the sea.
Well, he's a big octopus. Usually pictured as a different.
No, it's a very good rendition of him, especially when he's got like an octopus bottom. See how he has the octopus tentacles, and he's got the fish teeth, the teeth thing. Yeah. Look, yeah, he's got fins. He's a very good depiction. He's giant too. Like, I was really surprised to see this kind of, and of course he can summon fish. But you're in Poseidon's lair, basically. That's where you fight him. He's one of the coolest bosses you fight in the whole game. Probably one of the coolest bosses I fought in a hentai game. Because I'm like, dude, they went to this length to make the... And the boss battle gets hard. Like, yeah, see, look, he has those. You have to be careful. Because he... That's a one-hit kill. If octopus tentacles get you. And he doesn't have any H-scenes, guys. No, there's no H-scenes with Poseidon. So if you lose to Poseidon, you just fucking lose. So, okay, all that for it to tell me that the page was not found. Well, that didn't work. We're gonna try it again. Oh, God. I'm sorry, folks. Live shows, we do things. If you're watching this on MGTOW.TV or BitChute, of course, you can just kind of skip it. Oh, we got it. We got it, guys. Okay. We are here. Alright, last fall, I reported on a phenomenon that doctors around the globe were just beginning to understand. Teen girls were showing up in hospitals and clinics with sudden motor and verbal tics seemingly related to videos they watched on TikTok. Real deal, man. Doctors say they're continuing to see an outsized number of girls suffering from tics, and some are also developing new disorders. New research findings offer hope that the problems can be addressed. Starting back in the spring of 2020, girls in Chicago were uncontrollably blurting out the same words as girls in Calgary. Doctors from the US to UK discovered that many of the teens had been watching TikTok videos of people who said they had Tourette's syndrome, a nervous system disorder that typically strikes males during early childhood and causes them to make repetitive, involuntary movements or sounds. What doctors diagnosed in these girls wasn't actually Tourette's syndrome. Instead, they are functional neurological disorders, a class of afflictions that include certain vocal tics and abnormal body movements that aren't tied to an underlying disease. Many of those early patients have since recovered, although neurologists say some have gone on to develop other disorders. And new adolescent female patients with tics continue to file into the many doctors' offices. Viewers of TikTok videos containing the hashtag Tourette's have risen by almost a billion since last fall to 5.6 billion. New research supports doctors' earlier theories that girls who developed tics during the pandemic had pre-existing mental health issues, making them susceptible to other disorders. A paper published earlier this month in Australia's Journal of Pediatrics and Child Health found that underlying or undiagnosed untreated psychiatric disorders, self-harm, and school absenteeism are common in adolescents with functional tics. The University of Sydney researchers wrote that the tic-like behavior likely comes from a mix of cumulative stress in addition to social media influence. TikTok has consulted with experts who have cautioned that the correlation does not mean causation when it comes to tics and the company's video sharing platform, a spokeswoman said. For people with Tourette syndrome, the app is a way for them to express themselves authentically, find community, and fight stigma, she said. When people search for TikTok videos related to certain kinds of harmful content, such as disordered eating, suicide, and dangerous challenges, TikTok directs them to expert sources such as the National Eating Disorder Association and Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Platform doesn't steer people to similarly authoritative sources when they search for videos about Tourette syndrome or tics. TikTok is working on ways to give users more control over the content they watch, including the ability to block content they don't want to see in their For You feed, the spokeswoman added. She said TikTok is developing new ways to diversify the videos its algorithm recommends to viewers. Yep. So there we go. It's pretty crazy. They're basically trying to say, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. But no, if they're learning fucking tics and mental problems from TikTok, maybe that's a problem. You know, I'm just saying, maybe that's a problem. Anyway, guys, let's go on and read the chats. So, today in the chats we have... Ain't nobody raping these hoes, Mal says. And then Mal says, can the collapse please happen any faster? I might end up dead and useless if society collapses, but I want it gone. Well, a lot of us might, but you know what? Society isn't getting much better. We're already seeing absolute ridiculous bullshit. Just, unbelievable. They're gonna give people fucking $600 to $900 a month just for being transgender? Wow, that's pretty crazy. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, see, that not being a scam Yeah, I identify as a woman, but I dress like a tomboy.
Right. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. I'm waiting. There's some more. Does it apply to masculine presenting? Yes. Yes. It does. Anybody that's a masculine presenting transgender lesbian. Absolutely. As long as you have the card. I think you have to have the card.
The card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's where I'd go wrong. I didn't even know there was a card.
There's a card.
It's
called your ID card. And basically, it just says that you're whatever on there. Mm-hmm. And once you say, oh, I'm sorry, I identify as a masculine presenting transgender lesbian, I'm not a man. And then automatically they're, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought you were a man. You just looked like a man. I present as a man, but I'm not a man. That's how you get them. That's how you get them. Okay. I got one more person trying to type in there. So I'm going to go ahead and read what they have to say. While we continue. By the way, I fought this boss a million times, so I may fast forward. He's hard!
Well, yeah, but I was ready to get to the part where you actually beat him. I thought we were getting close.
We are. This is like the second to the last
board.
This
is the third time you fought him. Third or fourth.
Sorry, folks. I gotta speed this up a little bit. Yeah, he's... And finally... Finally, boom. Nope. See, he makes it really hard for me. And then I beat him. I beat him just as he was attacking me. I attacked the tentacle, and it beat him. And it tore her clothes off, but damn it, she won. She beat Poseidon. From your last article, I wonder how the kid is going to grow up, says Cookie T. Yeah, I'm worried about that. That kid is going to be hated. So... Fucked. No, it's not going to be... No. It's not going to feel... No. Listen. Basically, they're trying to turn this kid into the perfect soy boy. Oh, he likes dogs, and he likes gardening, and he likes... we're trying to teach him to not be masculine, and... Because basically, she says that she sees, like... She doesn't want to see the faces of the men that apparently assaulted her and him. So she's going to try to make him as feminine as humanly possible.
The thing is, the... guy she's with or something, it's his donation, so she's not gonna just an idiot. Just another way to claim victimhood.
Oh, absolutely.
I ain't worried about them. They're gonna die out because if all they're worried about is being victims. Victims don't survive in the long run.
So now we're there. The Lord of Statues. Part 1, that's chapter 19. We're at the Archlich's main base. Oh, there's a monster lurking here that turns people to stone. Oh, I hate this one. I actually died on this boss to a game over. Because it is very, very, very hard to beat. This boss is legitimately difficult. Basically, how it attacks you is it can do multiple... Every time it hits you, your body goes closer and closer to stone. And if the stone goes over your head, it's an automatic insta-kill, no matter how much life you have. So that, basically, it's got a bunch of tails, because it's a bird. So basically, the tails, they work like tentacles, and they hit you multiple times. So you're getting, like, hit 3 and 6 times, and you're already, like, half stone. And and as you move away from the boss, your body slowly goes back to normal. But you have to try to fight it and avoid becoming a stone. Especially when it can hit you so many times and turn you to stone very quickly. So it's a stupidly... Yeah, I even told the... I said it was too difficult. I literally said they need to tone that boss down. I don't know if they did, but they've released like 8, 12 versions of the game since this one. So they probably did fix it. Because the game's on 1.14. This is 1.06. Don't worry. It's the whole game. It's just they've released a lot of bug fixes and patches and things. Yeah. I didn't have any issues with this version of the game. But Yeah, if you buy this game right now, you'll be getting 1.14. You won't be getting this version.
Probably depends on the operating system, what they changed about.
Well, no, they fixed bugs and things. There's a lot of lists, actually. I read some of the bug fix patches for 13. There were a lot of stuff they changed. I might go back and try it again. I mean, I spent so much time playing this game.
I'm telling you, you got it sonnet up in here.
Oh, yeah, I know. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for being a part of this one. And, yeah, we went on a little bit with the banner and all that, but, you know, these things happen. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and do some games. I actually managed to get one to work. We're not going to play it for long, and then, of course, we're doing Being a Dick. By the way, Being a Dick. Being a Dick is not getting as many hits on MGTOW.TV as it used to. But you say, oh, are you going to quit it? No, because BitChute is giving it fucking gangbusters. It's got 100 and 300 and, you know, people are really watching that on BitChute. And I think one of the reasons why is because they don't want to pay for the high quality video on MGTOW.TV, because you have to pay for the high quality video. So if you want to watch it 720, you have to pay them at least $1. And that's a subscription, like monthly $1. Now some people, that's, you know, they don't want to do that. I can understand that might be a bit much. And BitChute, of course, it's the same uncut version on BitChute. They have not had any issues with that on BitChute. Surprisingly. I mean, I'm waiting at any time for them to say, hey, you know, this content. But, I mean, at the same time, it's not really an adult. Like, it's not a... Being a Dick is not a sex simulator. Does it have sex in it? Absolutely. But it's not a sex simulator. It's more about... It's a college movie simulator. Right? Yeah, it feels like you're in a college movie. Like one of those 90s college films. American Pie or something like that.
Maybe a medieval version of it? Or Being a Dick.
Being a Dick.
Oh, Being a Dick. Yeah, that does feel like a... Yeah, 90s movie franchise.
Yeah, that's what it is. The guy said he loves 90s movies. That's why he did it. But, anyway, yeah, we're going to be out of here, and we thank you guys once again. This is the Grimlord and Dead Penetration.
Oh, yeah.
And we are out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline, folks, and pick up that new book from Aaron Clary, The Menu. We're out.